In the words of Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. Dak is who we thought he was. He's a good QB who was in a great situation all along. Yo, what's going on, y'all? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining me once again. Don't forget to subscribe and like and share and comment and all that wherever you're watching and listening. Appreciate you as always. Jumping into week 5 of the NFL season and week 6 of college. There wasn't much going down in college, right? No big matchups to speak of. So I ain't going to spend that much time in college except to say that my Noles won again. No real upsets, no real big matchups, right? That's coming down the line. Deion and the Buffs. The Buffaloes got back on the winning track in college. But the hype for Deion and them have kind of died down. I don't know if y'all noticed that. That's how it is, man. That's how it is. You're winning. Everybody hyped about you. You start to lose. Even for Deion, even for Primetime, who was going to get all the attention anyway, it just seems like it's died down a bit, right? College game, they ain't going out there no more. Maybe if they get on another winning streak, right? But for now, it's okay. We'll see what you guys got, right? You had your run. We gave you all the attention, and then you got smacked 2 games in a row. People realized that you weren't ready for the big boys, which everybody with eyes knew you weren't ready for the big boys yet. Not that you'll never get there. Not that you won't be there next year. Not that you won't win any more games this year, but you just ain't there yet. And anybody who wasn't biased trying to kiss up to Deion's butt knew that. So, yeah, so the media hype has died down. Shador's still flashing his watch, like the Manziel money sign, and people are getting mad. Like, yo, if you don't want him to celebrate like that, don't talk trash to him. Or beat him. Duh. If you don't want Manziel to flash his money sign, beat him. Or don't talk trash. But if you're going to talk trash, you're going to call him names, and you're going to lose, then he can do whatever. He can flash his watch. And Shador's had money his whole life. You know, his dad is Deion. So it's not like, you know, he just got money. He's flashing. He's flashy like his pops. And that's okay if you're winning. So, yeah, so nothing much to speak of on college. In the NFL, moving on, I've said it before this year, I don't know who the great teams are in the NFL. Outside of the 49ers, I don't know who the great teams are. Nobody consistently great. 49ers have separated themselves, and who knows how long they can keep this up, but clearly they've separated themselves. They're up there, upper echelon. The Eagles are 5-0, but they don't look like the team from last year. Their defense is not as good. And maybe they're just playing better teams. I don't know. And their offense doesn't look as unstoppable. That one play, though, is unstoppable, which everyone's trying to copy and can't get. And I've heard people talking about it should be outlawed. And maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. It seems like an injury risk, right? Like 11 dudes just piling on to the center. That seems kind of like somebody's going to get twisted up real bad. And then the NFL will change the rule, right? After a couple dudes have gotten hurt, like, oh, we probably shouldn't allow that anymore. But for now, Jalen, have your way with that Philly love shove, whatever it's called, the brotherly shove. So, yeah, the Eagles don't look as great, but they're 5-0. And the NFL, just keep on winning and make the playoffs. And hopefully you can hit your peak as you're getting to the playoffs. I thought the Ravens were a good team. I picked them to win the North, AFC North. But they just lost to Pittsburgh, who the week before got embarrassed by the Houston Texans, who have a rookie quarterback. And C.J. Stroud is nice, but that team ain't great. But they got embarrassed the week before, and now they beat the Ravens. Ravens couldn't score. Yeah, they're dealing with some injuries at wideout, but still. KC's offense, doesn't look as great. They're okay. They still get the job done. Of course, they still got Pat. But as a Mahomes fantasy owner, the brother don't look as good, all right? He's not putting up the points that I need him to for his draft position. But their offense don't look as good. They look okay. And they got a scare this week with Kelce. You know, we thought he was done. Those non-contact injuries, I thought he was done. Thank goodness for them. The Lions are okay, but I don't trust them. They're 4-1. They beat KC. That's really the only good team they beat. Lost to Seattle. The Bills beat the Dolphins. And the Dolphins, who everybody was, you know, picking to do whatever, right? And as a Dolphins fan, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I've been supporting this team for 30-some years. I know not to get too high on my team. I've seen these starts before. I've seen these starts before, so I know not to get too high on the Dolphins just yet, because it can all come crumbling down real fast. So, but the Bills beat the Dolphins after the Dolphins had put 70 points on the Broncos. And everybody like, ooh, the Bills are one of the best teams in the league. And then the Bills come out and lose to the Jags in London. And the Jags aren't that good. They don't look that good. But the Jags smacked them around. And now the Bills are facing some serious injuries with Milano gone for the year. Matt Milano, their linebacker. That's why I hate making NFL picks for the year, guys. That's why I hate it. Because all it takes is a couple serious injuries to keep players, and everybody experiences them, so you don't know who's going to be left standing. So whoever you thought was going to be great at the beginning of the year is like one injury away. The Chiefs are one Kelce injury away from not making the playoffs. I'm telling y'all right now. And everybody making excuses for Pat Mahomes. Lucky for them, the injury wasn't serious to Kelce. But that's just how it is, man. That's just the nature of the sport. I love it, but I hate it. But the Bills, who everybody last week was like, oh, man, Josh is going to be the MVP now. He's back on it, and here we go again. It's this cycle of up and down with the Bills and Josh Allen. But the Jags beat them pretty easily in London. Now, my Dolphins. Listen, I'm a Dolphins fan, but we haven't beaten a good team. The one good team we played smacked us around pretty good, so I don't know what to think of us. Again, I've seen us have great starts before, and yes, our offense looks unstoppable, except when we play the Buffalo Bills in a good team. So next week, we play the Panthers, and the Dolphins might put up 100 points on the Panthers. But the week after that, they get the Eagles. So I'm anxious to see how we show up against the Eagles. The Panthers game, not to be cocky, the Panthers game is a given. The Dolphins are going to beat the Panthers. They literally might score 100 points. The Dolphins might score 100 points on the Panthers. It's going to be a field day. Tyreek going to go crazy. I already know it. So they're going to blow out the Panthers, and everybody's going to be like, ooh, the Dolphins are the Super Bowl favorites. And then they play a good Eagles team with a tough D-line. The defense, like I said, is not as great as it was last year, but their defensive line is just full of studs all over the place. You can't run on them like that. And then now you got to play A.J. Brown and the boys. So we'll see. But I don't know who to trust in the NFL, man. The Niners are good. They're great. Other than that, I have no idea who else is really, really good. Everybody, it depends on the week. Week to week. It's a week to week league. You can win, you can lose. Anybody can win, anybody can lose. So we'll see, man. But on the topic of 49ers, talking about the 49ers, great team. Brock Purdy is the latest QB for the media to lift as their golden boy. He's the latest up, right? The next one up. This weekend, the 49ers beat the Cowboys. Nasty. And of course, Dak Prescott didn't look great. That's what happens when you play against great defenses. They don't look great. And Dak hasn't looked great all year. And maybe some are going to say, well, you know, he's played better teams, or, you know, Kellen Moore's not there, whatever, whatever. Right? Dak fans are going to make that excuse. Right? They're going to say, hey, you know, his offensive coordinator got taken away, which is true. If your play caller gets taken away, who you were comfortable with, and the play calls aren't the same rhythm, it's going to look different. And if you're playing tougher teams, you might have a couple bad games. But nobody want to hear that. So the Dak haters are all out now. They're out for blood now. Dak sucks. Bench him. He's a bottom tier quarterback. The truth is, Dak who is who we thought he was. In the words of Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. Dak is who we thought he was. He's a good QB who was in a great situation all along. And that's pretty much every QB in the league. Like I've said 100 times on this podcast, the guys who we call elite are in great situations. The guy who aren't elite, for the most part, are not in great situations. How many times I got to say it, y'all? Now, my faithful listeners, you guys are probably tired of me saying the same thing over and over. But for the newcomers who are hearing this for the first time, that's sports. That's football. There is no quarterback right now who has scrubs all around them who we're calling elite. Not one. Not a single one. Tua, who everybody's calling elite now, the quarterback of my favorite team. Tua, who's elite now. Everybody was calling him a scrub a couple years ago when he had no weapons around him. And he didn't have an offensive coach, a good offensive system. He was garbo. Everybody was calling for Tua to be benched, talking about he was a bust, a wasted draft pick. Justin Herbert was the guy. Dolphins should have drafted Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, who walked into a great situation with two really, really good wide receivers. Keenan Allen, who really can't be stopped one-on-one with his route running. Mike Williams, who catches everything when thrown his way just about. So Justin Herbert was in a better situation, putting up better numbers, but he was thought to be better than Tua because Tua walked into a bad situation. And I'm not going to sit here and be one of the Dolphins fans who bash Brian Flores. I'm not going to be that guy because he turned us around. From those Adam Gase years, Brian Flores like turned the program around even as they were trying to tank. Maybe Tua wasn't his guy, right? And maybe his personality rubbed some people the wrong way. You could criticize Brian Flores, Dolphins fans. You can criticize him without acting like he's the worst thing to ever happen to the organization when he really started to turn that program around, right? He showed us that we could have a good defense, a great defense. When we really didn't have the pieces on offense, we won games. But Tua walked into a situation where offensively it wasn't conducive to his skill set. And if Brian Flores had stayed there, no chance Tua becomes this guy. And nobody's talking about Tua for MVP. But really, Tua and Dak and Herbert and just about every other quarterback in the league is situation dependent. So Dak Prescott walked in as a rookie and threw 33,667 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 4 picks. Team had a 13-3 record. Ooh, Dak was amazing. He finished 6th in MVP voting that year. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he made the Pro Bowl. Dak was next up. He was ready to be that guy. Media had propped him up, even though he played with like a top 2-3 at worst O-line. with two Hall of Famers at least on his O-line. And despite the fact that Ezekiel Elliott had 1,631 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns, the media had propped up Dak. He took Tony Romo's spot, and people was like, ooh, Tony Romo can't do what Dak is doing. At that time, Tony Romo had failed in the playoffs, so that's all cats needed to see to be like, Tony Romo ain't it. Oh, how the tides have turned. Tables have turned, and now Dak is in the same situation Tony Romo was 7 years ago. Now Dak can't win the big game. He can't win in the playoffs. So now Dak is a scrub, and let's replace him because he can't do X, Y, Z. Why? Because let's compare him to Brock Purdy, who's now in a great situation. So nobody's going to remember that just a few years ago, Dak was doing the same thing that Brock Purdy's doing now. But let's prop up Brock Purdy and say, ooh, he's the next it. He's MVP. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. And by the way, him being drafted in seventh round already shows you, which I've talked about on this podcast, how much it matters. Situations matter. And how thinking that this guy is the next it. I talked about it with Caleb Williams. The next big thing may or may not be depending on where he goes. But Brock Purdy is nothing special. He's not like he has a cannon on his arm. He's not throwing off his back foot. And by the way, I'm not one of these guys that think like, well, you have to throw off your back foot to be great. All I'm saying is that I don't see Brock Purdy doing anything spectacular on the field besides taking care of football and not putting it in harm's way, even though last week he should have gotten picked a couple times. But we ain't going to say nothing. Every quarterback has those throws, by the way, not to pick on Brock. I'm not trying to pick on Brock. I'm just trying to put things in perspective. Purdy is good, but nothing special. Most QBs in the league would be good in San Francisco. They would probably be undefeated. Like, how far down, if we think of all the QBs, how far down the list do we get before we're like, this guy would be garbage in San Francisco? Like, San Francisco would be garbage with this guy. How far down do we go? Kirk Cousins? I think Kirk Cousins would win with San Fran. Derek Carr? I think he would win in San Fran. Tannehill? I think he would win in San Fran. Hell, Tannehill was winning in has been winning in Tennessee with far less weapons. But we don't want to go there. Let's not go there right now. So now everybody's propping up Brock Purdy. Not the Hall of Fame left tackle that he came into. Pretty solid offensive line. Excellent weapons. McCaffrey is all world. Debo, you can't. He's a receiver, running back, whatever you need. Debo got you. George Kittle is a monster of monsters. Among monsters at the tight end position, George Kittle is a monster. He does everything well. Catch, block, like, it's a stacked team. And Shanahan is an excellent coach, excellent play caller, Kyle Shanahan. Like, seriously, how many QBs in the league are we going to say would look absolutely horrible in San Francisco? Maybe Zach Wilson? I don't know. Justin Fields might even ball out in San Francisco. And now he's being compared to Brady. Why? Because Brady won initially early on, had success early on with the Patriots. But we're so quick to prop up these guys, and the media is crazy, man. What they do is they prop you up real quick. If you win initially, if you're winning, pew, they bring you up. Just so they could tear you back down as soon as you fail in the playoffs a couple times. So, Brock, I hope you win soon, man. Like, I hope you get the chip, like, this year or next year. Because if you don't, you're going to get that label real quick, mid. The media is just ready to tear you down. They're going to prop you up and tear you down, bro. So I hope you win it this year or next year and you are, like, contributing. Like, you know, you're putting up stats. Because if you just win and, you know, you're throwing picks but the team is winning anyway, they're still going to find a way to bring you down. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it works, man. The media, the fans, they're so crazy, man. But it's clear we're doing the same thing for Purdy that we did to Dak. We raise him up. The team was good around him, but we don't care. Nah, look at him. Look how good he is. We don't care that the team is loaded. We don't care that Zeke is going bananas. Zach was 13-3, man. 13-3 record. But anybody who's sane, who knows that it's a team game, knew that Dak was surrounded by an all-world team. Ooh, he threw for 3,600 yards, 23 touchdowns, 4 picks. We knew what time it was. So right now, you know, you have people on TV talking about Purdy, Brock Purdy is better than Dak. Listen, man, I'm no Dak fan. I'm not a hater, but I'm not a Cowboys fan, right? I don't care either way for Dak. I've always thought he was just a good quarterback in a good situation. People elevated him beyond what he really was. But you're not going to sit here and convince me that Brock Purdy is better than Dak Prescott. I don't even think it's even close, to be honest with you. Like, if you switch them positions this weekend, what does it look like? Does it look any different? Does Brock Purdy put the Cowboys on his back and make that game closer or win the game? No. No. And the media, like, you guys got to get out of this habit. And that's really what makes a lot of people, NFL, NBA, right? They make these guys, like, two things. They make them ignore what the media is saying, or it makes them listen to it so much that it makes them do things that are outside of winning as a team, especially in the NBA, because everybody wants to be number one. Everybody wants a spotlight. Everybody wants the Jordan praise. Everybody wants the LeBron praise. The media is sitting there like, well, you know, you can't, you know, it's not the team that makes you good. You're just good. You're just great. So are we just going to prop up this quarterback and put all the praise on this quarterback? And as a result, the fans are doing the same thing. We're going to praise this quarterback and call him elite. We're not going to look at his situation. It's just so crazy. And in basketball, it's not LeBron's team. He didn't play with the Heatles. Chris Bosh wasn't good anymore when he won. Dwayne Wade wasn't good anymore. It was all LeBron. So to make LeBron look good, to make LeBron look better, you bash his teammates. To make Jordan look better, you bash Scotty. Scotty wasn't all world. He wasn't a great defender. He wasn't nothing without Jordan. Jordan made Scotty. So as a result, you got cats wanting to do things on their own so I could show that I'm better than LeBron. I'm better than Jordan instead of playing as a team. That's how the media works. So the media is propping up Purdy, fully knowing that the 49ers are fully loaded. And there are very few dudes in the league who would not succeed in San Francisco. Very few. And that's okay. It's okay. And they're doing now this another conversation for this weekend. They're doing the same thing with this Belichick-Brady thing. And as a Dolphins fan, I am a hater of all things Patriots. But I can't sit there and say one guy was more deserving of the props than the other. Like, it's clear the first three championships that the Patriots won, that was Bill Belichick's imprints, man. That was defense and running. Brady just had to take care of the ball. Just like Russell Wilson just had to take care of the ball when they had the Legion of Boom and Marshawn Lynch, the beast mode, running. Like, the offense was mid as hell. So, yeah, Belichick was responsible primarily for building an infrastructure for Brady to succeed in. And we give Belichick props. This is what people don't get. We got to give Belichick props for sticking with Brady after Drew Bledsoe came back from injury. A lot of coaches would have put Drew Bledsoe back in. We don't give him props for that, for recognizing who he had. And we don't give Belichick props for willing to change his offensive mindset, because before it was three yards in a cloud of dust. It was run the ball, play great defense. He adjusted his mindset with rules change, you know, 07, Randy Moss, Wes Welker. He was okay with adjusting his mindset to putting the ball in Brady's hands more and letting them go bombs over Baghdad. He was okay with that. We got to give Belichick props for doing that. So, yeah, towards the latter end, you know, Brady started putting up numbers, second half of his career, putting up ungodly stats. But before that, he wasn't doing that. He was mid. He was ball control offense. So props to Belichick for being smart enough and wise enough and willing to adjust. So we can't knock him for having a bad record without Brady. He just won. Belichick, the GM, has screwed Belichick, the coach. That's his problem. But two, unfortunately, and maybe that's because of Belichick, the GM, he hasn't had another great quarterback like Brady or even a good quarterback. Y'all know how I feel about Macaroni Jones. Mac and Cheese Jones, y'all know how I feel. But the league changed the rules. Brady started going ham. Randy Moss, well, Wes Welker, and then, you know, tight ends come into play. Hernandez, right, and Gronk. And before you know it, Brady's putting up crazy numbers like he's Peyton Manning. And he's winning games offensively, scoring 30, 40 points. But yet and still, despite all the points they were scoring, Brady never won a championship without a top 10 defense. So Belichick gets props too. And Brady gets props too. Why is there an urge to separate greatness? Why is there an urge to make it seem like Brady can win without Belichick? Why is there an urge to make it seem like Jordan would have won with anybody if, you know, without Scottie Pippen? Like, why is there an urge to make it seem like Michael Jordan could have won with anybody in the NBA? No. Why is there an urge to separate these guys? Why is there an urge to make it seem like LeBron won all by himself? What is it with modern-day fandom and modern-day media that makes it seem like we just have to separate, isolate these dudes to make them seem great? We know Michael Jordan is great. We know LeBron is great. We know Brady's great. But there's also teams and structures that allowed them to be great. And Brady knew he wasn't going to be great outside of Belichick. That's why he kept re-signing for less than he was valued at. We could say, yeah, his wife at the time was banking. That's true. But he also knew where his bread was buttered. And he knew there was no way he was going to go to another team and win like that. Because he knew the dedication that Belichick had to winning. He knew the dedication that he had to winning. And them two were a match made in heaven. So, yeah, Brady was going to take pay cuts. It wasn't just because he was nice. It's because he knew he could win with Belichick. He had a better chance of winning with Belichick than with anybody else. So he put up with the strict rigidity of Belichick to win. So Brady knew he needed Belichick, but for whatever reason, fans don't think Brady needed Belichick. Y'all got to chill, man. Stop trying to separate the two. They needed each other. Despite Brady's crazy numbers and eye-popping stats, he had already won three before he started doing that. And then once the league changed the rules, they continued to win because Belichick still was able to field great defenses somehow, right? Because he's a great coach. I hate giving the Patriots credit. I hate giving Belichick credit and Brady credit. But they all deserve credit for how that system was ran, man. I don't know if you're going to get that anymore. Because now the media is so quick, so hell-bent on giving one cat the most props. I don't know if a quarterback in Brady's situation hangs around that long without getting all the credit. They're going to dip. They're going to bounce. If there's ever, which it probably won't be, but if there's ever a quarterback in that situation, again, they're going to bounce so they can prove that they're that guy. Kyrie Irving bounced away from LeBron. He left so he could prove that he can win without Braun. That's what the media does, man. It drives these cats who are so, already have big egos, even worse because you boost up another guy. It's like, man, I want to show that I'm that guy. And people could be like, well, you know, Brady, you know, left New England for Tampa Bay and won. Yeah, he went to another great team. That team was loaded. receivers, defense, like he had it all. He didn't go to a scrubby team. Great offensive line. Like the Bucks were loaded. And he won a championship. But what happened subsequently once that offensive line got hurt? And his defense wasn't that good. That's just how it is, man. You need a great team. Stop trying to strip these dudes who are on great teams from the situation and act like they would ball out no matter what. Not a chance. Everybody who's great has great surroundings. That included Brady, and that includes Brock Purdy and Dak and Herbert and Tua and Burrow and Mahomes. All of them. And Hurts. All of them. That's just how it is, man. There is no elite player without elite surroundings, especially not elite winner. Now, you might have cats who put up stats regardless, but if you're going to put up stats and win, there's no such thing. And I feel like I'm repeating myself on this podcast. But I keep having to because the topic just keeps coming back up over and over. Why are we boosting up Brock Purdy so much? Yeah, he's good. But let's not, you can't separate him, his success, from the team. You absolutely can't. And we did the same thing with Dak Prescott. And Mahomes, as great as he is, I've said it 100 times, without walking into Kelce and walking into Cheetah and Andy Reid, the mastermind that he is, who knows who Mahomes is? So let's chill on that, y'all. Let's chill on that. So anyway, that was my rant on this weekend's craziness circulating in the media and with the fans. I had to jump in on it, y'all. So the season continues. Man, NFL is just crazy, man. I love football, but it's crazy. Couple of things that's crazy about football right now is that offensive line play sucks, and as a result, quarterback play has suffered. But it seems like teams are just kind of evenly matched now, which is good for the fans, right? There is no Patriots dynasty anymore. Everybody has a chance now, which is great. I love it. So, yeah. That's my thoughts, y'all, for this week. But I appreciate y'all watching. I'll catch you guys next time. Mike, sports and the real shit. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.